here's the ledger keeper of the Padres canon, Dallas McLaughlin.
Oh, thank you, voice. Thank you so much. Yes, it is I, Dallas McLaughlin. You're welcome back to the canon. You're welcome back to the canon. What kind of... Maybe I shouldn't have put the bottle of whiskey in my office. That was probably a bad idea, or the best idea ever. I do not know. Anyway, welcome back. Oh, man. You know what? Listen, I voted no for Ricky Henderson. I'm going to come out and say it. I don't want to lie. I don't want to pretend that I didn't do that, but I didn't. I didn't vote for Ricky. I don't think he's a member of the Padres canon. I think he's a member of the baseball canon, of the Legends of Sports canon, but the Padres, he's too big. He's just too big for the Padres in general. I don't know. But listen, it wasn't up to me. It wasn't up to me. It was up to you guys. And overwhelmingly, you voted yes for Ricky Henderson inclusion into the canon. So that means, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, take off your shoes, take off your socks, take off your belts. It's time for inspection, because Ricky Henderson, you are now an official member of the possibly official Padres canon. Congratulations, sir. And we appreciate your time on the podcast. One day I'll get Ricky on the podcast. Anyway, we move on. We roll on. Tatis is injured. Our lives are over. But you know what? We roll on. We bring an old friend back from the Voice of San Diego, Coach Lou. Very happy he's back. And he brought with him a fan favorite, a mid-2000s fan favorite. And I, again, am interested to see how this goes. I think I know how it's going to go. And I think I know how I'm going to vote, too. I don't want to influence you. It's not up to me. It's up to you. Enjoy the episode. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, we are back here and back with a very special guest who has brought forth another player similar in vein and probably in statistical achievements as his previous pick. This one is going to be interesting to see how it comes out in the Padres canon, which, of course, canon, it means, does this player belong in Padres history? Should he be included in the big book of the San Diego Padres? Not a Hall of Fame. It's not that. We know that's only reserved for players who were once Padres, like Steve Garvey. Does this player belong in the history of San Diego Padres? Ultimately, Padres Twitter, you will be the deciding factor. We will let you know. But he's back, ladies and gentlemen, from voiceofsandiego.org. You can follow him on Twitter at BOSD Scott. It's Coach Lou, Scott Lewis. How are you, sir?
Very well. Thank you very much. This is an honor to be included. Thanks, Dallin.
You're damn right. It's an honor. Thank you for saying so. I wish more people showed respect. I'm going to love to hear what you have to say about him. You brought forth somebody who I think represents a lot for San Diego Padre fans, and it represents a lot in both ways, good and bad. Chris DeNorfia, Dino. North, as some of us called him, or as my friend Sean used to call him, Vincent D'Onofrio. give a quick background on how he became a Padre before we dive into it. But he was drafted in 2002 by the Reds, the Cincinnati Reds, one of my favorite teams as well. And then in 2007, many years later, he was traded from the Reds to the Oakland Athletics for players you'll never have to think about again in your life. And then in 2009, was granted free agency. In 2009, he signed with the San Diego Padres and played with the Padres from that point forward for about five seasons before being shipped off. Chris DeNorfia, Coach Lou, you bring him to us. What's your thoughts? What is your argument to include DeNorf?
Okay, so in the previous episode about Solarte, I talked about how and why I became a Padres fan around 2008-2009. And, you know, there was that year, 2010, and they were competitive, but they farted it away at the end. And the guy that I just couldn't help but be stoked about the entire time was Chris DeNorfia, Dino. he had the statistically shortest hit home run ever, inside the park home run against the Dodgers. I went and watched it the other night just to remember. It was a great moment. Dino, yeah, I just, again, it's a similar argument that I had for Solarte. I don't think you can understand the Padres between 2008, 9, and 2019 without people like Dino and Solarte.
Mm-hmm.
You as a Padres fan, I as a Padres fan, couldn't watch every day except to root for individuals because it was so hard to watch otherwise. You couldn't get hopes up about the actual team, you know, and its competitiveness. But you could root for these guys, and they were always, you know, at the fire. Well, how many times did North fly over a wall or like smack into somebody? Or just like, you know, he was just all over. And I remember every year just like hoping he would beat out, who was he like playing against, like Venable.
Oh, no. That is his name.
That's what I always used to say in my head when I'd see his name.
Willem Venable, yes.
Venable and all those other guys that he would, you know, be in platoons with or whatever. And I was always like, come on, man. You can do it. I also had an affinity. He's, you know, he identified as an Italian American. I do too. And he played for the Italians on the World Baseball Classic. He was a fighter, man. And I just think it's this classic, again, I just don't think you can understand the mediocrity of the Padres without understanding that D'Onofrio became a fan favorite. During this like period of just intense mediocrity, like people were making up fan fiction just to keep themselves like alive as fans during this period. Like, what can I do to like generate actual drama that I'm enraptured with? And I remember a couple like walk-offs, or at least one I remember from him. It was just mm-hmm. gorgeous. He'd come in like pinch hit and just smack it. He was a fighter, and I just remember constantly rooting for him. I remember he was battling for time with Maben in center mm-hmm. field. He was I wanted him to succeed. And I feel like he was a fan favorite in a way that's similar with Solarte. Like you just mm-hmm. had to have something to go for. And he was a beautiful man.
Well, I'll tell you, I love the idea that he must be included purely on the fact that you need to need him to understand the mediocrity of the Nico Padres. That is a fantastic reason. I'll say this. To echo your point, in 2000, let's see, I'm going to get this year right. In 2013, he was chosen as the Padres winner of the Heart and Hustle Award. So,
yeah, right up there with Perella, right?
Yeah. he was the Wilson Defensive Player of the Year Award for the Padres. He had 13 outfield assists, tied for fifth in that category in 2013, and he played so well. I mean, like you said, Maben was out 2013. He saw a lot of increased playing time up into 144 games, which was a career high. And because of that, in 2014, he was the opening day right fielder for the Padres. And then he was traded that season.
Yeah, it's not a noble career. I mean, it's not amazing. I just remember... Again, I didn't want to pick somebody that I'd be a poser about, like Tony Gwynn or, mm-hmm. you know, Caminiti or something. You're going to have plenty of those. And I wasn't going to go to the modern Tatis, Machado era. That's not my place to do that either. So who are you going to pick between 2009 and 2017 or something?
Dorf? Yeah, during your fandom, that's pretty much the years of your fandom. You had a small group. I'm going to play this trivia game with you real quick because D'Onofrio was, he wasn't ever going to be considered a starter by almost anybody except for finally the Padres. But do you know he was playing in the minors, playing with the Beavers, and he was brought up to replace another injured Padre? Do you have any guesses who that injured Padre was? I want you to remember mediocrity, but also we were kind of happy to have him on the team.
Oh, no. I don't think I do, no. Would have been an outfielder. Not Venable, I guess, no?
No, right. Not Venable. He played a couple positions, outfield being one of them. Also played some second base sometimes.
Oh, no.
It's okay. You know what? The fact that you don't remember is probably better.
Okay.
Because it was Scott Hairston. Scotty Hairston. That's
yes, I do remember that.
Yes,
that's right. He got hurt,
and in 2010 he played some minors, and then he brought up May 17th to replace old Scotty Hairston. Another one of those guys who we got and we're like, oh hey, we got Scott Hairston. And he actually was pretty good. Maybe somebody will pick him at some point to defend. But yes, you are correct. He was a representative of a certain amount of time, and he became a fan favorite in the sense where, like, I still to this day, I mean, when we were allowed to go to games in person, you see people in DeNorfia jerseys. I mean, people were buying DeNorfia jerseys. And do you remember when he grew that mustache for a while? And it was like, Oh, this guy's cool.
Yeah. No, he was built. I just remember he was like, and people were just like, Norf, they loved it. They loved him. And yeah, when he came on pinch hit, everybody get rallied. You know, again, it was just like, that was just a dark time, but he was a bright, wasn't Kuzmanoff around that same time too? Like Kuzmanoff.
Oh, Kuzmanoff might have been in the tail end of that, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I just, it was a tough time to care about the San Diego Padres. And yeah. people latched onto him maybe it was like the kind of meme, like cult thing that people do in the internet and such. Mm-hmm. I remember like a video of his, you know, like all his highlights, and it just felt like they were almost making fun of him in a way, but it was like, it was still like into him. It was like a product of like internet culture kind of taking off as well. Like, I don't know if Twitter was making it at that point, but like the internet culture of like trying to like create drama and storylines apart from what the Padres themselves were selling was definitely affecting Dino.
Yeah, I remember there was a, you know, at thecatfaith.com when writing during those seasons or even podcasting during those seasons, you know, there wasn't a whole lot to talk about or write about other than, you know, is Chris DeNorfia the answer? And then you'd have to, you know, slowly cry while writing that whole 1,000 word piece. he had his best seasons with the Padres. That's also where he got most of his opportunities. His best season overall was in 2012 with the Padres. He hit .293, which in 130 games, that's a very impressive thing to do. Was never a big power hitter. That wasn't his game. Like you said, he kind of grinded it out. A little bit of, to me, maybe a less talented David Eckstein kind of a player, grinded his way into relevancy. His career WAR, for all of those out there who love that stat, was 10.8. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, that's respectable. Yeah,
Dino.
Dino, 10.8. I'm sure the mustache counted for at least 0.8 on that 10.
Yeah.
After his days with the Padres, he was traded, as a lot of people know, because a lot of people were mad. I remember a lot of people being upset about this trade in 2014 to the Mariners for a minor league player and then Abraham Almonte, who people liked Almonte, but that was one of those.
He was playing last year, wasn't he?
He seemed to get better once we let him go, which, but I'm pretty sure Almonte got busted for roids too, if I'm not mistaken. I am almost positive. And then 2015, Norf signed with the Chicago Cubs. And then he went to the Yankees in 2016. He was released 3 weeks later by the New York Yankees. Then signed as a free agent in 2016 to the Giants. Once again, released just a couple months later by the Giants. Finally signed as a free agent with the Rockies in January 13th. Stuck around in that organization for most of the season and then finally released. I think this is a fun postscript to DeNorf because his career stats, for people who care, just real quick, 272 career batting average. That's a damn respectable average for the kind of player D'Onofrio was. 41 home runs, 196 RBIs. But he is, like I mentioned with Solarte, when we were talking about Solarte, I think Solarte's career path could lead him to be a manager. Same thought with D'Onofrio, and he is. He is currently the head coach for the Hartford Yard Goats.
The Yard Goats, obviously.
The Yard Goats, obviously. The AA affiliate of the Colorado Rockies. The Hartford Yard Goats, which I didn't know was a team, but I'm currently bookmarking it so I can buy a hat. So I'm very excited about that. So knowing all of this information, going down the rundown, again, this is very emotional. Both of the ones you've brought to us are very emotional picks, which is nice. So far, I've gotten a lot of statistical or personal achievement kind of nominations. So this is one for the deep-pocketed Padres fans of the early 2010s. Knowing everything, Coach Lou, your vote on Chris D'Onofrio, does he belong in the canon?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that this period of time needs to be dealt with. We can't just pretend that it went from Tony Gwynn to Fernando Tatis seamlessly. It did not go seamlessly from the world of when Petco opens to the world where Machado starts playing there. And Dino got us part of the way through that.
So your argument is that he belongs in the accurate history of the San Diego Padres, not the history books that you would find in most public schools where we just decide to gloss over.
This isn't the great man theory of San Diego Padres history. This is the proletariat, man. These guys were workers. They were getting us every day going in there, trying to put on a good show to the best of their ability.
To the best of his ability. Yeah. That's the best way to describe him. I'm on the fence. I haven't made up my mind. I'll be honest. I'm leaning towards no, which hurts me. It does hurt, but I am leaning that way. Ultimately, it's going to be up to you, Padres Twitter. Go to the Kept Faith on Twitter at the Kept Faith. It'll be the pinned tweet right there on the Twitter page. And it's up to you. You are the final vote. We've heard our sides. A hearty yes from Coach Lou, an on-the-fence no from me. But ultimately, you will make the choice. Does Chris D'Onofrio belong in the big old history book that is the San Diego Padres, the canon? It's a simple yes or no, and you can vote at the Kept Faith. Also, follow along, thekeptfaith.com. We have posts and everything like that every once in a while. And if you haven't subscribed to this podcast, which is on the Kept Faith feed, then make sure that you do it right now. Follow Coach Lou at VOSD Scott on Twitter, where he ultimately usually just fights with Tony Krivacic. Isn't that his name? Is that his name?
Krivarik. He left the Twitter. He's gone. He's went to Gab with the other white supremacists.
Is that the new parlor? Is Gab?
Gab was started earlier as the place of refuge for people who really had some white supremacist things they need to get across and a few other things like that. So
I don't appreciate you calling him a white supremacist.
I don't know if he is or not. I just know that's where he went.
I'm just kidding. I don't give a crap about that guy. But it was fun seeing you go back and forth with him and then him just giving up. That was a nice little moment. But follow along there and also check out voiceofsandiego.org for a fantastic resource for news in San Diego and also for their podcast, the Voice of San Diego podcast, which is always a very enlightening listen if you live in San Diego. You guys cover a lot about schools, which I find fascinating and always depressing. So it's very, it's very good to listen and stay up to date.
We do like to bring people down, but that's the only way you can get up is feel the floor.
Hey, that's a perfect argument for D'Onofrio right there. The only way you can get up is feel the floor. Thanks for being here, Coach Lou.
Thank you. It was an honor. Thanks. Look out, San Diego.
good.